It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Woo. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Woo. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast, episode 120, Papaya, in our special edition of the Survivor News. I asked you guys, I said, hey, do you like it if I break up the podcast and give you the Survivor News early? And I got an overwhelming yes. So I'm trying to keep the tradition going and bringing you your Survivor News. But listen, if you have not already, please make sure you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcasts from. We are there. Click the subscribe button. Give your baby boy some 5 stars and write a review. I'm super excited about this week's breakdown of episode 8 of Survivor Season 41. We welcome back our baby boys to break down this episode. We've got Jack Atkins from the Netflix show, The Circle Season 2, and we have Survivor winner of Ghost Island, Wendell Holland. And like always, you can follow along on my YouTube page, Bryce Isaiah, to not only listen, but to watch us break down the episode. So listen, enough of me talking. Let's get into this Mitten You.
It's a man who, it's a man you. Me and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew. It's a man who, it's a man you. Me and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew.
And we are back this week with the Survivor News, bringing it to you early as you requested. I asked y'all, I said, what, y'all want some Survivor News early? And the overall response was, yes, they would like to see their baby boys. I'd like to formally welcome back to the podcast, Jack Atkins of Season 2 of The Circle. What it do?
What's up, guys? So excited to be back. Another great episode.
Real quick, though, Jack, the word on the street is they said you could freestyle. Give us a little 1-2, 1-2 on a 1-2 on the spot. Come on.
On the spot.
What you need to beat?
What's the topic?
It's not a beat.
At the watch party, I could see Bryce dance up on the pod, calling it purple pants.
All right.
That's all I got.
All right. Okay, we'll get at a C plus.
You gotta give me a heads up next time.
Okay, listen, if you a freestyle, you could go on the go. And of course, we have to welcome to the podcast Wendeezy Holland, winner of Ghost Island, HGTV star. What it do?
What's up? What's up, Perp? What's up, Jack? How we doing?
What's up?
Real quick, though, same question. They said you could rap too, Wendell. They said that Wendell and Bryce have an unreleased song, though, but same beat.
It's Wendeezy. And I'm about the action. On the power, Bryce and my man, Jack Atkins.
Ooh.
I don't got nothing, man.
That was solid.
You giving very much papaya.
Bryce, don't do that. Because I was told that you have some songs on iTunes.
Oh, I've charted
on iTunes. And I was told that you can spit some bars off the top.
Oh.
Ready, set, go.
Gia. I'm on a potty cast with Jack Atkins. Wendeezy, we about to set it off. I ain't going to touch the papaya. I'ma spit the fire.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, use that because I don't have my bell today.
We were waiting on that rhyme at the end.
Yeah, we were waiting for a while.
Needed that.
Don't do that. But I am, I'm excited to have you guys here. We have another fire. And in my opinion, historic. But we'll get to that later in the podcast episode. So listen, without further ado, I won't even, because listen, let me wet my whistle and Wendeezy, take it away. What's the tea? What's happening?
Okay. And forgive me if we have any internet issues, because I'm in Wilmington, North Carolina, and they got some funny internet down here sometimes.
Is it the internet or is it the computer?
Because they say that you want Ghost Island and you want $1 million, but they do say that the apple that you are working on is from 1963.
Don't do that. Don't do that. They say it's the original apple.
Oh,
it's a Steve Jobs reused.
Not reused.
You got the original files on there.
Be that as it may, let's hope that it works for the next hour so we can get through this pod. We start off on the beach. We have the, I guess, the original Yassa folks after they were kind of after a tribal council where they were kind of scrambled up and, you know, it was a live tribal. They come back and they decide they're going to leave each other and let go of their alliances to one another and start scrambling. Mm. What do you guys think about that?
If I'm at breakfast and I order scrambled eggs, I should just say, give me the Yassa eggs, because they, for me, watching Heather, watching Evie, watching Liana, watching Xander talking to everyone about each other, for me, I almost felt as though it was strategic.
And Tiff was out there running around.
I'm saying Heather, I meant Tiff. Yeah, it was like, wow, like how quickly the tides have turned.
Jack?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that there was some rifts in that group. Obviously, Liana turned on them. Of course, Xander found out that Evie told Deshaun about his idol. But I do think, like Bryce was saying, it is strategic because right now you're a group of three that just made a huge move in the game. If you look too tight going forward, you're going to be an obvious trio, an obvious target. So I think the smart thing is for them to pivot and try to, you know, maybe they are going after each other, but I think giving that perception that you're going after each other, even if you're not, is just good for all of them to make new inroads in the game. So I think it's super smart. Although some of the other players did catch on to it. I think Shan, I think maybe Deshaun said, you know, are they really against each other? Or are they just making it look that way? And that could be dangerous.
Yeah, we get a good confessional from Deshaun where he's like, I'm no fool. They clearly just targeted me. So I want to see him going one by one.
Mm-hmm. For me, what I thought was another powerful move that I don't know if I would have been able to make was when Evie was talking to Deshaun on the beach. Essentially, Deshaun had outed her at the last tribal and Evie was really trying to make things good. For me, it's war. Like, if I were Evie, like, I would be like, Deshaun, my number one target, I want him out. But for me, that shows her composure, that shows her knowledge of the game, and that, for me, that shows her maturity.
A good survivor player will come back from a bad tribal, and they won't flip stuff. They'll look for their ends, and that's exactly what she did. She was like, she was looking, and you got to be open to talking to everybody on the island the next day. You can't let your emotions take over and want to like write people off, especially if you're in the minority of however many few people there are. You got to be willing to talk to everybody on that beach.
So question, you said a good survivor comes back from a tribal and, you know, rights their wrongs. What if you don't come back from a tribal? Are you still a good survivor? I'm asking for a friend.
Depends.
Depends on what friend we're talking about.
Okay. All right. I just asking for a friend. That's all.
Okay. All right. Well, then we get to a water challenge. This is a reward challenge for grilled cheese, right? Mm.
Oh, here's my other thing. And stop me. First of all, Survivor, a grilled cheese. Where is the tomato soup? Where's the bacon? Like,
Bryce, I know this is a shortened season, but we're on, say, day 15 right now.
We've merged. Who just eats a grilled cheese? Jack know how to eat a grilled cheese. When Jack was on the circle, he was making up some concoctions.
Yeah, I'd always chase the grilled cheese with a little sliver of papaya, too. That's my favorite snack in the circle.
Here we go.
Don't touch my papaya.
It is weird, though, because you're right. Like, the grilled cheese, and this is supposed to be, like, despite being shorter, it's supposed to be a super hard season. And we're seeing that with some of the rewards being pretty limited. But they're also not showing a lot of the camp life and showing how difficult it really is. Because we're hearing that these players are starving, but we're not actually seeing that survival struggle. So it's kind of a weird, like, dichotomy of that. Obviously, there's so much strategy to fit in that it's hard to show all of that camp life. But it's like you are trying to make it super hard, but you're not showing it. It's just kind of a weird thing that they're doing.
Indeed. And so in this challenge, we have a rock draw, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the teams end up being similar to the teams from before, where we have, and correct me if I'm wrong, Evie Ricard, Danny Deshawn, and we have on another one, Liana, Heather, Tiffany, and Shan. Was it Erica that drew whatever the gray rock or whatever the rock was rock to sit out? And Xander swapped her out, right? Can y'all break that down for me?
I mean, I thought it was a solid, I thought it was a solid move. Now, ever since I think the sort of the first instance where someone did that, I think it was San Juan del Sur, Natalie did that. It is sort of a move now where it's like, okay, you're just kind of posturing as, you know, being generous. And I don't think anyone really feels that they owe you very much. So in that sense, I don't think it's very valuable. But the thing I did like about that move is, one, what he says after the challenge is, you're guaranteed to hang out with five losers. So you're in the majority with, you're with the majority group, you know, six out of the 11 players, and you're with the people who just lost, who are going to be more emotionally fragile and more open to, you know, when they're emotionally broken down, they're going to be more available to bond with. And Xander, as someone who's looking for really any ally he can get, I think that's a smart position to put yourself in. Also, he's aware of the fact that there might be something hanging around that sit out bench, and while he doesn't end up finding it, unfortunately, he was looking for it. So, you know, those are two benefits of sitting out. And in reality, had he played, he might have won the challenge, but you get a grilled cheese. Like, what does that really matter at the end of the day?
I have a question. Now, that confessional, that was hindsight, so it sounded great. Like, yeah, I get time with the losers and the depressed people and the majority. I question that, you know, that, do you think that that was on his mind when he made the decision, or do you think he wanted to get near that sit out bench?
For me personally, and hearing Jack talk about Xander and all of the podcasts that we've talked about, some of the things that Jack has shared about Xander being as old, Xander is aware that he is a cisgender heterosexual white man, and he is on this, the most diverse cast of Survivor history. For me, and knowing how smart Xander is, whether or not the edit shows it, just seeing some of the moves that he makes, for me, that was a very pivotal point for me to be like, wow, my heart opens up for Xander a lot. Although it was, can be perceived as a very pandering move to get others, i.e. Deshawn's face, like, you know, like, why are you doing that? But for me, the way I looked at it was that, like, listen, Xander is aware that he is, you know, a cisgender heterosexual white man on this very diverse tribe. For him to see that Erica sat out twice, and for him to show that type of empathy, for him to show that type of, like, you know what, I want to make sure that someone like Erica, who has like been on the bottom, has gotten on exile twice, let me just lend myself. I don't know. For me, it is very strategic, but also, like, on a very human role, I appreciate that. It's almost like, and I might go too far, let me know, but I almost feel like in real life, that's somebody being an ally, somebody seeing somebody at the bottom and being like, you know what, I've really yet to be on the bottom. The character that I play normally on Survivor is yet to be on the bottom. Let me lend myself. And for me, in a very human way, I appreciated that a lot.
I do think that's a factor. And then, Wendell, to your point, like, I think it's a good chance he was thinking about that. Maybe not. Although, in a vacuum, like, there's so many times where there's a sit out bench of, or like in a challenge, that it's pretty rare that that's actually a factor. Obviously, this time it was, there was an advantage there that he didn't find. So maybe that's a thing. But I do think at the end of the day, and I didn't really think about this till now, it kind of boils down to, if you're Xander and you kind of know that you're at the bottom and you really have nothing to do but go up, so you might as well make these moves. And now, even if it's not the best move, which I do think was a beneficial move in this situation, I think it's worth taking the risk. Because if Xander plays this challenge, the best thing that happens is he gets a grilled cheese. And Xander's also on a really weird diet, so I don't even know if he, like, fucks with grilled cheese like that.
Oh.
So I feel like you might as well put yourself out there, make that swap with Erica, and see if you can build some inroads. Now, maybe he didn't realize the benefits that he would get from joining the losers in that moment, but I think the uncertainty of what could happen when you do that, I think, outweighs for him in this moment the possibility of a grilled cheese.
I think it was a great move for Xander. I also listened to
the person voted out exit press. And that person said that Xander was on a unique diet, a paleo diet or something like that. And they're like, you know, he wouldn't have eaten that anyway. So I think multiple things can be true. I think that it was the right game move. And so he goes to the sit out bench and Bryce.
I'm about to say he went out to the sit out bench and y'all know I love me some Zeddy Zan. But here's the thing. You just can't be. You're going to have to get on all four. Listen. I'm going to need, like, he needed to act like he was cheering, like, go, Jack, go! you know, like, something, just them little pats up under the table, that ain't enough. However, when I was watching the episode, I thought he was behind them. Then towards the end, I realized that he was in front. So that made me understand like why he wanted to be a little bit more like
subtle.
But no, baby boy. And I know you are a listener of the Purple Pants podcast. So what it do? But listen, you take some Bryce Isaiah. Be like, Jack, yes.
He should have got so excited that he like jumped in the water. So right. He could really get a good look.
I think I would have just pretended to like get a little tan going and just laid down on the dock.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. We already know that Xander has an idol and an extra vote. So those are huge targets on him. What would it hurt for him to be up there, just out there blatantly looking for it?
Yeah, he's always going to have that target from now through the end of the game. He's always going to have that target on him. So yeah, he could have just blatantly looked for it. He could have pulled a Sarah Lucina. I think she was acting like she was tying her shoes and grabbed that one that Michaela should have found, right? But nonetheless, Jack does not find this
Xander.
I'm sorry. Why do I get y'all confused? So
they don't look nothing alike. Yeah. Okay, Xander is a zaddy.
And what's Jack?
What the fuck?
Jack is an uncle.
He's giving uncle Jack. You give an uncle.
I'm giving zunkle.
Jack give an unk.
Damn, I don't know if I could continue this episode after that.
But listen, real quick, I just want to take it to the tweets because you know, friend of the show, Davey. Okay, he tweeted. He said, "Damn, Zan, you ain't have nothing to lose, bro. I would have got down on all fours. LOL. Nobody's paying attention to you anyway."
The thing is, it's easy as a viewer to say that, but
he's a former player.
Well, no, of course, but he's watching this current season. unless Davey's out there, I don't know. Maybe the advantage was you get Davey to come join you as an extra vote and distract you with his ninja skills.
Would that have helped them?
I think so. But as a viewer, it's easy to say.
Yeah, would have helped.
It's easy to say that he should have gone for it, but like, he didn't know that an advantage was hidden. Like, a lot of times in the past, people will know like at the challenge there's an advantage hidden somewhere. Then I think you just got to go for it. But 9 times out of 10, you're on the sit out bench. There's nothing there. So I think really just padding around a little bit is the general strategy. Of course, like you said, I don't think it would have hurt if he could have come up with a way to really get a good look under there. But
I mean, I agree. I just wish Xander would have pretended that bench was my body. Okay. Okay. Listen,
he would have drowned himself.
Yeah,
it would have been over for your Zaddy Zan.
I don't think he's switching out with Erica if that's the case.
Nah.
But continue with how
he devoted that bench.
Don't do that. Okay. Listen, he would have somebody play Sierra, my body.
Okay.
Just real quick, there's no way to know, obviously, but do you guys have any theories like what that advantage could have been? Because it wasn't a beware. It was just an advantage.
I literally on this exact podcast said, would they put the knowledge is power advantage back?
Yeah, you said that. No, they wouldn't do
but
that. It was an extra vote.
I think it was a steal a vote.
Ooh, that would have been powerful. Mm-hmm. That would have been powerful for.
So would a knowledge is power.
It would have been too powerful.
But I don't like the season's twists have been so weird. Maybe a steal a vote's too straightforward. I don't know.
Right. Knowledge is power.
But I don't.
Here's another thing also. And again, this is me, a fan of the show. I liked in the beginning when Jeff came out and was talking to us. How do you guys still feel about him talking to us right before the tribe gets there? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I don't mind it. I don't mind Jeff breaking the, what is it, the third wall?
Fourth wall.
Bryce, your math is off. I don't mind him breaking the fourth wall because I think it's cool to show him hiding something and just do something different. People, there was some backlash to it, but I'm not mad at it. Jack?
I'm pretty indifferent on it. I mean, I love me some Zaddy Jefferson, but I've seen some people say like it does seem a little bit weird every time he breaks the fourth wall, just like the way he talks to the camera.
Right. It's the eye contact. Hey,
we got something special for you guys.
And then for me, I'm always like, is this pre-recorded or is it live? Because then he's like, bring them on in.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I don't know, but there is something I like about it. There is something at this point. I'm like, we taking time off of Jeff and we could be spending that much more time getting to the players.
Exactly. I agree with that, but I don't mind having Jeff. I mean, it was just Jeff's birthday. So maybe he was like, hey, let me get a little screen time. I think Jeff's had more screen time than Heather this season.
I mean, he definitely has.
Not this episode.
Okay. Heather got some ish to say. So anyway, the tribe that wins is the tribe. Who is it?
Deshaun's tribe, I think.
Deshaun, Danny, Erica, Ricard, Evie. They get to go to their grilled cheese sandwich feast, while the yellow losing tribe is left behind.
But are you ever really left behind when you have Nasir?
Well, we're gonna get to what Nasir brings to the tribe. Shan seems a little. You know, she lets some tears out. She seems a little upset. And again, this is a Shan Stan podcast, so that's what I got. But she's a little sad. She goes to Liana and says that she wants Evie out because Evie's very sharp and very smart, which is understandable.
Evie killed that puzzle, by the way. We didn't mention that.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that. She said she built one of those at home with beads.
Yeah, it's a puzzle I've seen before, just like, I think I was at a escape room and they had it in the lobby. Very random, but I do think it's something. There is something to be said about the fact that this has happened multiple times in Survivor, where someone's like, "Oh yeah, I've done this." I saw it on a past season. I just made it at home. Kind of ruins it a little bit, but like props to her for preparing.
It ruins it a little bit, but also it's like I love the fact that the show is catering to its actual fans, and that like anyone that is watching, like you literally could get off the couch and play Survivor.
Ooh. But y'all could also make a different puzzle that's a little more difficult and a little more like I don't know. Like make a puzzle like I think that's a little lazy for them to just reuse that puzzle.
But it is also just like it's a puzzle. Like I said, I've seen it outside of the context of Survivor. So although they used it in what, 38, she said. So it's like, yeah, you could put a little more time in between puzzles, but it is a fun puzzle. It's a good like brain teaser.
And it's a reward challenge. So
true.
All right. So then we have our buddy Nasir, who's like, you know what? I'm resourceful. I'm just going to go out and I'm going to find some grub for us. He knocks down a couple of papayas. And I remember on that island, on Ghost Island, we found some papayas. They were not ripe. We tried them. They were disgusting and we couldn't eat them. Nasir finds some very ripe, beautiful looking papayas to share with the losing folks.
And not only did they had them on a sauce and pan. They was cooking them bad boys up. I was like, oh. For me, I think that it brings to a very interesting topic of them, like, you know, losing. I can definitely relate to Shan and like the hunger aspect of Survivor. Again, I might have only played 11 days, but listen, they were 11 days, in my opinion, that were some of the hardest of my life, like not eating. For Nasir to be able to provide for them when you know that other people are possibly out looking for idols and getting fed, drinking. I feel like I just was with Shan in that essence of like, I'm very grateful. And we get to kind of sort of the Ricard moment, where I think is a very pivotal moment for the Ricard and Shan. We already know they're already on thin ice coming back from the give me it back. No, give me it back. no. Like, you know, we're still off of that. We haven't really seen much, you know, content of them. But, you know, there is a part of me that is greedy. Anytime I come over somebody's house, like, when do I open up the refrigerator and be like, oh, how old are those ribs? What are, like, they buy dinner for tomorrow? Like, you know, like, that's just my nature. However, I do think that is important to remember that, like, when you're playing Survivor, any and everything that you do matters. So I also am with Shan, where it's like, bitch, how dare you come back from grilled cheese with no tomato soup and you dig it in our pie?
Wendell, what do you think?
I see both sides for sure. Same. So as the person that just lost multiple times in a row, as the person that didn't go to any of these food rewards or anything, when you finally have somebody that can provide a papaya for you and you're finally eating something, but you still know that the other half of your tribe is over there feasting on grilled cheese with no tomato soup. If they come back, it's like, yo, y'all had way more than anything we're eating right now. And I'm and whatever, you might have found something, whatever. You guys did your thing. Like, please just let me get this little bit of sustenance in me. And so for Ricard, on the other hand, who maybe he just wants to try pieces of papaya. Maybe there was an abundance of papaya there, but he just wants to take a little piece. I can see how that would rub Shan the wrong way, but I can also see why Ricard would want to, hey, let me get a little dessert or so. Let me try a little something.
And I think also the middle ground of it is Ricard could have simply just been like, do you guys mind if I get a little papaya? And then have them respond. And I feel like he could have tested the temperature. But again, I felt like this reminded me of Michaela and what was his name with the sugar?
JT.
Again, I just say that, like, you always, and again, this is for anybody that's listening that's a future Survivor player, like, you have to be aware of, like, your behavior and your actions to others. It's not like what you think about it, because, like, you know, Michaela was just making her some coffee, and if I'm making some coffee, give me 4 or 5 cups of sugar. So what are you thinking? You're disagreeing with my Michaela scenario?
Was it Michaela that was taking the sugar?
No, it was. Michaela was taking a lot of sugar, but then in the end, when JT was complaining about it, then Sandra dumped it all.
Yeah.
She did a Jatia.
And it's also like the James banana etiquette thing, right? Yeah. You gotta know your surroundings. And in that case, Ricard wasn't doing himself any favors by saying, yo, I'm going to take a little piece of this papaya.
Yeah, I don't think Ricard did anything particularly wrong, but it is something that could rub someone a little bit the wrong way. And it just so happens that Shan, who might be the hungriest person out there at this point,
right?
I think she takes it too far, but like that is the way the game works.
Like, what is too far though, Jack? Have you not ever eaten? And like, when people like have that criticism, I'm always just like, don't eat for 11 days. Have your friend go to Old Country buffet.
But it's like just because you eat a grilled cheese doesn't mean you're not hungry anymore.
I didn't eat a grilled cheese.
Then win the challenge.
Baby boy, I'm not saying what Ricard did
was like right by any means.
No, I'm not saying what he did was right or wrong. But what I am saying is that like, that you have to be aware that you just came back from a challenge.
I don't disagree. But if I'm in Shan's shoes, I think I'd be like, yo, Ricard ate some of the papaya. He just ate, like, that's kind of whack. Whereas Shan, obviously it's harder when you're starving.
Right.
She seemed like on the verge of tears.
She was on the verge
of tears. And on the verge of, like, of turning on her ally. And she let that on, which strategic, like, Ricard becomes aware of the fact that Shan's pissed at him. Like, ideally, save that for confessional.
Right. But
I think both parties, yeah, I see both sides. I don't think anyone was in the right. I don't think anyone was really in the wrong.
Here's another thing.
Emotions were heightened.
Right. And that's what I will say. When you're on Survivor, you don't get a time to be like, oh, let me gather my composure. Let me go to the other room. And like, you know what I mean? Like that, yeah. Like, you know, your raw emotions come out. And even though it's something as little as a papaya, bitch, I was I will. Like, there is just something that resonates with me with Shan, and it doesn't have to be the papaya. It could be like anything else. It could be a phone call. It could be a swipe up. It could be a lot of different things that for me could what set do you mean me when off. You
say a swipe up?
I mean, I'm just saying, like, I understand that. However, also on the Ricard take on it, bitch, I want to taste the papaya. Like, you know, like, I get it. But again, this is what I love about Survivor is that, like, for me, I feel like this was a very real moment in Survivor.
I agree.
Another thing to add to it, or another wrinkle, is Ricard and Shan have been playing the game together since day one. When you're around someone that long, there are little things and little ticks that just annoy you. If it's like someone's accent or something, that someone, like, there are things that's just like, I need to get away from this person or something. We've seen them go at it a little bit here and there. And it seems like we've seen them kind of like mend things, and it seems like they're working together, but still, like, man, maybe just one little thing just pushed her over with him, and she had to let him know, like, bro, you just came from a reward. You don't need to be eating my little small amount of papaya.
Jack, I have a friend that I occasionally take long road trips with. Whenever, like, we're eating in the car, this friend will smack on food. Like,
you're talking about yourself.
They're the only person in the car. And it'd be like, hello?
Oh, you talking about yourself?
I am.
Yeah. I'm the because you're in the back seat. Like,
well, here's the thing. I live by myself, Jack. And I spend 90% of the day by myself. So if I'm eating a little bit of food, I'm like,
okay.
That could be it. Never mind. But yeah.
On a 10-hour or a 12-hour road trip, Bryce.
And so there are times that, like, we're eating and Wendell's like, hey, yo. And I appreciate the heads up, because honestly, like, I literally am like in another world. Like, I'm just sitting in my loft. Just so, you know, friends go through little battles, but, you know, it's all about the recovery. So what happens next?
So Shan, you know, she wasn't really feeling it. She let Ricard know. Ricard goes and tells Danny. He says, I took a little bit of the papaya and I got in trouble. And he's wondering if Shan's hunger or what have you will hinder their future alliance. I've been thinking that these two are going to come to some kind of battle at some point. And now I'm starting to think that maybe this battle might not happen.
I get what you're putting down, and I could maybe see that. I think that time and time again in this podcast, I've said that if either Shan or Ricard go home, it will be at the doing of the other hand. But I now sometimes think that, like, if Shan does go home, it actually may not be at the doing of Ricard's hand.
Which we will get to, because we saw Shan get into some kind of, I don't know, I don't want to call it a tiff, but we saw Shan having words with someone else too. But like I said, this is a Shan Stan podcast, and I want no smoke, Queen Shan. But anyway, day 16, we have a challenge. It is a immunity challenge. Jeff decides to open things up for a negotiation at the beginning, saying you can opt out for a single portion of rice, or if a group of you opts out, then what did he say? We'll give you enough rice for multiple days.
Yeah.
So Shan, who also has an idol in her pocket, she's like, you know what? I'll step up. I'll opt out. The second person, was it
Nasir?
Nasir, who has an idol in his pocket.
Yeah. I forgot Shan had that idol too. Yeah.
I forgot Nasir had an idol too.
Right. So then who's.
Then Xander says, if you make it four, then I'll keep the ball rolling.
And first of all, come on, Xander, negotiating, okay?
Yeah, that was brilliant by Xander, because Probst was like, all right, five people, that's the number. They negotiated for five. Two people volunteered, Shan and Nasir. And then Xander's like, you know what? Hold up. Let me try to do something. The man is playing the game. So he said, hey, Probst, let's make it four. I'll volunteer myself. Another person with an idol. If someone else will volunteer themselves.
I didn't even think about that.
Everyone with protection is volunteering.
Yeah. And then Ricard becomes.
And then Ricard, I feel like reluctantly was like, I'm going, like, listen, Shan said, that's my man and I'm going to stand by him. And in this moment, Ricard absolutely did the same thing. However, and again, maybe this is the reason why I have not made the merge. Probably. I'm thinking.
Huh?
Okay. I thought Jack said something. I'm thinking, one, I want to eat. So why not get the majority of five people to go stand up with me and listen, whoever doesn't make it, we'll just pick one of them off.
It's easier said than done, though.
Okay. I mean, but listen.
We got man down.
Mic dropped.
My Jack's mic dropped. Like the people that were doing this challenge dropped.
And dropping listen, like flies.
And as fast as they dropped, y'all could have stood out for some rice. Okay.
That's true. Yeah. So the order of dropping was.
Wait, can we go back to go back a second? Because there's two things I want to talk about with this whole rice negotiation. Shout out to Angelina. This was subtle. I didn't notice it during the episode, but I read a little bit about it. Apparently, when they were looking for people to sit out of the challenge, Shan kept looking towards Evie, trying to encourage her to sit out, which is an interesting thing. Trying to guilt Evie into sitting out because she wanted to target her. And then also, I do want to talk about, I guess, what we feel about the decision of, I guess, each of the four sitting out. I guess for me, primarily Xander, because I feel like Xander, if he played this challenge, would have won. Now, like, I don't know how you weigh those two things. Like, it's like, if you're Xander, would you rather sit out, get that rice and look good for your tribe? Or would you rather give yourself a really good chance to win the challenge?
I feel like, again, this move goes back into line. In alignment of what I was saying about Xander earlier. Now, let me demonstrate in more than one occasion, I understand my role and position in this game, and I want to do what's good for everyone. So I feel like him standing up for Erica and doing this, I feel like makes what he is doing more legitimate than like self-serving. And maybe I'm just a Xander stan. I don't know. I think that it bodes well for him. And I don't know necessarily if Xander would win this. However, I do know if I step up, right? There's three other people here with me that more than likely will support me. I still have Tiffany and I still have Evie. That's what? 3, 5. I'm 6. That gives me the numbers, essentially.
I just don't think people care that much about whether you step up or not.
I mean, because listen, petty me, if you didn't step up, you ain't eating a rice.
Bryce.
That's exactly what I would be doing at camp.
How would you enforce that?
You're not eating the rice.
The rice master.
What happens if Ricard pulls up on you and takes a little piece of rice because you're throwing hands?
Listen.
Oh yeah?
No, I mean, I'm not going to do that.
Merry Christmas?
I'm not doing that. But I might turn into a Natalie Cole and just lay the law down. Or I would, and again, this is probably why I did not do well on Survivor. But I would be very vocal about the portions of rice.
I think this is sort of a pivot, but I think in Xander's eyes, if you do win this challenge, it can almost be a bad thing because you've just pulled a great move and now you've won the first individual immunity challenge. Maybe sitting out not only gives a good perception of you and like makes you look benevolent, but also like lowers your threat level.
Benevolent.
So I think maybe that's the big benefit, because even if you win, maybe it helps your position in the game for this round, but it could put a target on you going forward. So maybe it's better just play it safe, get some rice. Also, Xander hasn't really been eating, partly because he's on a diet, partly because he hasn't, you know, won any rewards. He wasn't at the merge feast. Yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to think about, you know, each player's reason to step up.
Okay. All right.
Step up, Wendell?
I'd compete.
Jack?
I think if I felt like I wasn't going to win the challenge, I would step up, but otherwise I'd probably compete.
So do you think you will win that challenge?
Maybe. I mean, Spencer Bledsoe won it. So let me shout this out real quick. They mentioned Spencer Bledsoe in this episode too. So that's an appearance by two of my frat brothers in the very same Survivor episode. I just want to throw that out there.
What season was Spencer first seen on?
That one with that one where that dude Bryce went out third, Kage early. On.
Early.
Best wow. season of all time, though.
Mind you, I'm not doing a challenge. I'm stepping up for the rights.
Yeah, but I don't know. I also think now we'll obviously get to how this plays out, but if you're Xander, someone like Evie winning this challenge is pretty bad for you right now, because if Evie's vulnerable, then kind of the Yasa target right now seems to be Evie. So by not competing, you sort of give her a better shot at winning, and then that's going to shift the target to you and Tiffany.
Bryce, can you explain the logistics of this actual challenge to people for us?
So I believe you had to have like a block on your head, and you had to, and the block is contingent to standing up to something tall, and you have to essentially hold the block up, not let the block fall.
Okay. Now, Bryce, I got another question. And you're on your tiptoes?
And you're on your tippy toes to ensure the pressure of the block.
Okay, Bryce. How?
Window is down. Boom.
All right, it's I'm Jack down. And but Bryce, I have a question.
For the rice one, though.
I got water all over the hotel. Bryce, how would the hammer toe withstand the
toe challenge? Don't do that. Don't do that. That
hold on, I'm laughing.
The hammer toe would give me more durability and stability.
Okay. Okay. All right. So as we're competing,
mm-hmm.
if Jeff wanted to incentivize you with something, if he was like, Bryce,
I'm listening.
If he was like, Bryce, I have a jar of peanut butter.
Mm-mm, I'm good. I don't like peanut butter like that. Unless you nope. Next.
Okay.
Jack would be incentivized by that.
No, I don't like peanut butter.
All right. Yeah. Jack's locked in. Bryce.
So first of all, what you're not going to do is just do a Jeff and just I'm locked in as well.
Okay.
Jack
well,
has a half empty Coca-Cola. I have a full planted pot.
That's I was trying to figure out what that was. Okay, so you have a plant on your head.
Correct.
It, what plant is in there?
Yeah, you should duck down so we can see.
No, we ain't doing that. Hold on,
Bryce. We need to see what you have in there.
Hold on. If this falls, hold on.
We need to see. Is that a snake plant? No, it's not a snake plant, but it's a fake.
No, plan. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't
okay,
do
all that. Right. So Jack, if I could incentivize you.
Jack, grab the mic because I'm grabbing the mic as well. So I feel like that's only fair.
Okay, Jack. All right.
I got the mic.
Oh.
All right. So it's day 16 and I'm now offering a full pepperoni pizza to whoever steps favorite. Down. Jack, you're Evie. Bryce, you're Heather. Would you like a pepperoni pizza?
Nah, I'm a pass.
Okay.
No, I'm good, dude.
Okay.
No,
okay.
Jack.
All right. Now here's what I'm doing. As Jeff, I will now offer immunity to one of your allies if you step down.
Who my ally? Wait, I'm Heather?
Yes.
And Jack is Evie?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm gonna pass on that too.
Jack, if you're Evie and I'm offering immunity to one of your allies, you can choose who gets it.
The thing is, I don't have any obvious allies right now. And if I give it to someone on Yasa, that just makes the chance that I go home higher.
So Wendell, just subscribe to the people that are listening that aren't watching on the Bryce Isaiah YouTube channel. What is going on?
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So we all are doing this
Rage, challenge. Why is Jack breathing like that?
Sorry, I'm locked in.
We're all currently doing this challenge.
No, actually, we're not all.
Okay, fine. I turned into props because the water bottle that was on my head fell off. I'm looking at Bryce Isaiah. He has a whole plant on top of his head in a pot. And I'm looking at Jack Atkins, and he has what looks to be a cherry Coke or...
Is half it cherry? Drink, yeah, half cherry. Drink. A half backwash
cherry Coke on the top of his head. And we got to let this play out. So we're going to continue potting while they are in the challenge. And Bryce is now sipping. He's wetting his whistle, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm trying to contain my laughter. That's the only way I'm going to lose.
What are you drinking, Bryce?
I'm drinking a little orange pineapple juice.
Tito's?
No.
Okay. All right. So in this challenge, and
oh, who's Jack microphone? Is
messing it up.
Oh,
in this challenge, it's over in 3 minutes. Everyone except for Evie and Heather are gone. In 4 minutes, we have a winner. So basically, both of you guys would have won out there by now.
It's very much true.
And it's a showdown between Heather and Evie, and ultimately Evie, who is probably the one of the people most on the chopping block, Evie wins immunity.
So first of all, I'd like to say, Deshaun, eat your heart out. But I also want to just talk about this challenge.
Oh,
really quickly. How seeing as though Evie has won this challenge, when I watched it yesterday, I didn't really think much about it. But then today, Josh Green tweeted me and was like, it's the purple powers. Ricard won and his color was purple, and Evie won and her color was purple. And when I thought about it, I was like, wow, is this the first time in Survivor history for immunity challenge that somebody from the LGBTQA has won back to back immunity challenges? And I got a little like overwhelmed because I was just like, wow, like I don't think that that has ever happened. And I just think about anybody that is, you know, in the community that is watching at home to see on Survivor two members of the LGBTQI like killing Survivor, winning immunity. And I literally got emotional because I was just like, you know, growing up being teased for being other, being a queer young guy. And like, you know, if I only like could see Survivor.
You talk about this with a play on your head.
I know I am, because that's how much of a Survivor player that I am. And that's how much I want to show you that. Listen, listen, you might be on a circle, but I play Survivor and this is real for me.
Your plan's about
where
to
did that come from?
Continue.
I don't know. I just want to show you that I'm a beast, but it really kind of like, I don't know. And the representation on this season, it really matters. And I just think to any young person, any like person that is like questioning their identity, it's just to see a Ricard and an Evie win immunity challenges back to back. Like, I was just like, oh my God, yes, that is a win for my community.
I keep nodding my head, trying to nod my head in agreement, but then I got to stop because
all right,
I'm too focused. Oh, it's starting to slip though.
Nah, Jack, you're Evie. Bryce, I think that's a great point. It's something that I didn't even notice. And I think I thank you for bringing that point up. And if I could take it a step further, I think Evie chooses to be referred to as they.
Yes. And that is, and I also want to just make something clarify. She came to that after she got off of Survivor. So the pronouns that we are using for her, she, and talking about when she was on there is like, you know, we should be respectful and try to use they, but I'm just saying like, while she was out there, you will hear other people refer to her as she. And like, you know, she came to that decision after she got off of Survivor.
I think in her pregame, she said she uses she and they, right?
Right.
Okay. All right. I just want to be respectful and refer to her as she would like to be. As
absolutely.
They would like to be referred to. So, I will do my best.
Yeah, Evie's been killing it. I mean, as far as like a single episode challenges performance goes, like she crushed the reward challenge, crushed the immunity challenge. Honestly, I think she's just kind of coincidentally in a bad spot because of like how her Yasa tribe shook out. But I think she's one of the best players on the season.
And she's having a good time with it. And
yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I love
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
And having a good time with that. I'm sorry.
She's killing it. And I ordered those shorts that she has. I like talked about it like a week ago and somebody DM'd me and I was like, I need to be twinning with Evie. So I ordered the shorts too.
All right. And for the listeners listening, Bryce and Jack are still in this heated battle. Bryce has a potted plant on his head, even though the plant looks fake.
It's real.
And Jack has a half drunken bottle of cherry Coke on his head. And if either one of you are with me, nod your heads one time for me. Damn, they're locked in, ladies and gentlemen.
I nodded.
Do it again. So our girl. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, you can tell I'm nodding because the bottle's wiggling a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We're still locked in.
I feel like we have to, like, do we need to stand up?
I'm down. Should we stand on one leg?
I'll give you the countdown.
Wait, I got to angle my computer.
No,
First, you got to angle that computer.
And you got to hold the microphone too, Jay. I don't know where this podcast just went.
We have a winner, ladies. Oh, Jack.
Let's go, baby.
Bryce is still gone. Bryce has disappeared.
Bryce
just assumes he's voted out now.
I literally just fell off the chair.
Bryce, now you can look for the advantage under the bench, right?
He's acting. He was really taking this role seriously.
No, I really fell off the chair because I was thinking, like, if I go with the chair,
it's like it never happened.
My feet are soaking wet because the water that spilled when my beverage fell.
My shins hurt because I hit it when the table going down. Okay, congratulations.
Thank
Jack, you win a grilled cheese sandwich. So okay. Yes, Evie wins. What's Evie going wins, on?
And actually, Liana was talking about working with Xander, and Evie winning kind of foiled her plan to work with Xander.
So that was another confusing thing to me about Liana. She said early on in the episode, like, maybe Xander is somebody that she would, like, want to work with. And, like, I felt like there was, like, a point where her and Shan were talking. Then it seemed like after the episode, Liana was like, it's back to getting Xan out.
This episode was strange because it's after that crazy tribal and you get a lot of people scrambling and having a lot of conversations. And I'm sure, and we probably only saw a 20th of the conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
For me, it's just that I love Liana, and I love to see her, like, you know, back at it again, trying to win. And I love me my Xander. I would love, like, my two favorite people in my mind to, like, come together, because I definitely think that they could be a force to be reckoned with if they came together, because no one was suspected.
Okay.
You agree? I feel like they must have had a conversation somewhere in there where Liana suddenly pivots from, like, the president of the anti-Xander fan club to, you know, maybe I want to work with Xander. I don't know. But like you said, we only see a fraction of the conversations. And I agree with Bryce. Like, they're also both 20 years old, college kids. Like,
Leanna's 21. She just celebrated a birthday.
Well, on the show, Xander's 21. True. On the show, they're 20 years old. As a college kid myself, I'd love to see, you know, the young people come together and do some damage. But I do think, like you said, Liana's fluctuating with her thoughts about Xander and kind of her thoughts on the game. I feel like she's just very focused on, you know, who is on my chopping block at any given moment. I feel like you gotta like, so you don't always need to have someone on the chopping block. You can go with the flow a little bit. You think so?
I feel like you do, because you need to ensure that it's not you. So to ensure that
that's the opposite, like, of being, that's counterproductive. If you want to make sure it's not you, then you kind of want to go, you know, sometimes you want to have a target, but sometimes you want to be like, you know, I'm going to go with the flow. Anybody that's not me, I'm down for.
I hear what you're saying.
Whereas if you're worried, it's you, you don't want to necessarily be like, all right, it's got to be this person.
I feel like, you don't have to be the person that says it got to be this person, but you have to have a person in mind to ensure that in those situations that you can drop a name to ensure that it's not you.
Okay. I'm with you.
But I think Liana, I'm with you too. But I think Liana is very focused on, like, all right, this is my next target. Like, let me start pushing this name. Whereas I think, of course, you always want to have the kind of the ideal candidate that can go home in your, for your game, kind of, you know, subtly pushing that towards people.
I think segues us to the next great kind of sort of debate. Who is the person that Deshaun would like to leave?
So we have Danny saying that we can split it on Tiff and Nasir to Shan. Deshaun agrees. Shan says Xander is a bigger threat. She's very emphatic with it. Deshaun doesn't love that. Deshaun basically tells Shan that they need to improve their communication because it seems like she's talking at him or giving him the marching orders. And if I can talk about that just for 1 second.
Of course.
I think I applaud Deshaun for his communication in that moment, because I don't know if I felt that way on the island, if I felt like someone was just talking at me, I don't know if I'd say, hey, let's become better communicators. I might, just walk away and say, you know what? This person is on my hit list now.
I am 1,000% with you in the sense of I feel like how Deshaun handled that was amazing, and how I aim to handle people that I feel like are talking at me. However, in the same breath, there is something that, like, with me, I empathize with Shan as being a gay Black man. And I've had this conversation with you a lot, Wendell. I find, and again, very separate from Shan, but there's something that I can relate. I find that if I'm talking to somebody or if I'm giving somebody an idea, they just don't see or hear me. And I could literally go and say, Wendell, say this. And they'll be like, it's the best idea ever. And, you know, time and time again, this has happened. And, like, you know, you understand. And so I there is something with me that I can connect with Shan, being as though she is a Black woman on here. And anytime that she wants to, like, put her foot down, and say, like, listen, this is who I think I should go. Like, you know, then all of a sudden people are like, you're talking at me. And it's that kind of, like, not that Deshaun is saying this, but then it's that trope of, oh, the strong, angry Black woman. And so I feel like it's so interesting. First of all, what's the thing when they call it? Is it seventh quarter quarterbacking? Monday morning quarterbacking. I think as viewers, as somebody,
seventh quarter, man, always gets you.
As viewers, I feel like, and especially open-minded viewers, I feel like we can see this dilemma of where, like, I didn't necessarily think that, like, you know, and Shan's playing for the best game of her and looking out for her alliance. But also I see the dilemma of where Deshaun is at, where Deshaun is like, I don't feel like I'm a part of the decision-making process. So it is so interesting because I see both of them. And for me, I feel like I see the imploding of the camp out.
I have a quick question. Totally understand where you're coming from when you say, like, you can say something to someone and it won't be received. And then you're like, yo, Wendell, go say this blah, blah, blah to such and such. And it is received. I totally get that. My question to you is, and I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer, but if you're in a group and multiple members say, hey, let's do this, then one person says, no, I want to do that. No, we're doing that.
Agree. So
is it then a democracy, or is it like one person saying, no, we're going to do what I'm saying?
I know. Yeah, I feel exactly what you're saying there. Because I think, you know, Deshaun and Danny at this point have both verbalized that they want to, you know, split on Nasir and Tiff. And then Shan is very adamant about not doing that. Now, obviously, of course, everyone's voice should be heard. But when it seems like the majority of your alliance wants to make a certain move, I think you either need to go talk to some other people and kind of see if they're on board, and then, you know, plead that case rather than kind of standing alone and really being adamant about an idea that is just not really resonating with your group.
And to piggyback, I think people need in Survivor, Shan's best move might be to get a Xander out, or that might be what she thinks her best move is. Mm-hmm. But you can't anticipate that other people are going to act on what you think your best move is. They are going to act on what they think their best move is. So I think
you compromise those things.
I think that's the time when you just say, all right, we are a group working together. This is what I want, but we need to hear all voices. Yeah. I think, from the way I see,
I agree with that. And I also think, you know, Shan had so much control in the pre-merge, especially, that she executed very well, almost flawlessly. Now, I think she's kind of accustomed to calling the shots. So it's not like this is the first instance where, like, Shan's like, hey, I have an idea. Like, can I speak up? And people are like, no, like, be quiet, Shan. It's like, this is kind of a repeat instance of Shan's like, you know, this is my idea. I think it's the best idea. And she's not being receptive to other people's thoughts.
And another wrinkle is this is post-merge, and all of these tribes who have had all these people that were successful amongst their individual tribes, Shan did her thing to get there. And she played a lot of Survivor to get there because she had to go to tribal so much. Deshaun did his thing to get there. And one might say that he was like the leader of their tribe or something. Definitely. With his style.
Definitely.
And their styles are different. They're both very social, but they both were kind of like leaders in their own tribe. So now they're coming together, and now Shan has her style, Deshaun has his style, and we're seeing these styles kind of almost clash a little bit.
Right.
And they only linked up a day or two prior. Yeah. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, but that was the first, I guess, tiff, if you will, between the two of them.
Yeah.
But I will say, I agree with you guys. I respect Deshaun for having the wherewithal where, you know, this is sort of an unprecedented alliance. So there's an unspoken bond going on where even if you're having a disagreement, someone's natural inclination might be like, all right, maybe I got to go look for a different ally. But at least Deshaun's giving her that chance. We see right now and even a little bit later, even though it's kind of where it seems like he's kind of wearing down a little bit, to be like, hey, we really got to like work on our communication here so that we can make this alliance work. Otherwise, you know, what's the point?
And yeah. Ultimately, Shan was in that discussion. Shan was pushing for Nasir because of what he does around camp, and he found them papayas, and he's an asset around camp, and that's why she was pushing so hard,
which is actually kind of an underrated thing, because I think it's been a long time since we've seen a season where someone really is kind of being kept around for their contribution at camp.
Right. Because they got me the hell up out of there.
Yeah. So I guess that is sort of another indication of how tough this season is, even though we're not seeing it. Obviously, it's sort of another hint that, you know, the season's hard. Shan might be the hungriest one out there, so she wants to keep Nasir around kind of basically for what he's bringing to camp. Now, I do want to ask you guys, if you're kind of in this majority alliance position, do you, not from any, just from your own perception of it, do you think it's better to go for a Nasir, or do you think it's better to go for a Xander?
In my opinion, they both can go, because I want to flesh the idol out, because if I'm an observant player of the game, I know that they both said them crazy little marshmallows are my cousin's friends. I want them both out. Like, I want to flesh the idol out.
But first, what, like, because I think that there was a good point that Nasir isn't expecting it right now. He even says, like, there's a confession. He's like, I feel good. I'm safe this round.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a reason to get him now. Although we don't really know who exactly Nasir is loyal to, because obviously if he's kind of in your pocket, it makes sense to keep him around. But then also, I think there's a case where Xander might be one of the biggest threats in the game. If you're a Danny or a Deshaun or a Shan, I think you're also feel like you're a threat because you're playing hard. Or even a Ricard, who we kind of see goes and sort of extends a bit of an olive branch to Xander in a way. It almost makes sense to keep a threat around, because, you know, like my personal strategy, whatever view on survivors, if you're a threat, kind of a Jeremy Collins sort of meat shield strategy, you want to time up like when you're going to remove other threats, because as soon as Xander goes, now the eyes are going to shift to Deshaun, they're going to shift to Shan. So while that Yasa 3 is strong and they're right to be wary of the fact that they might still be working together, I do think it could have been a good opportunity to go for a blindside on Nasir while he has his idol and just kind of remove that unknown from the game.
Makes a lot of sense though.
Yeah. At one point we see Shan telling Nasir that, what did she say, that Xander said his name or something?
And Nasir was like, oh no.
Switch it for me. No.
She said that they told Xander his name.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Which I don't understand why you would say that. I think the classic move there is just be like, hey, Xander, like we asked Xander what he was thinking. He threw out your name. We just agreed. Obviously, we're not going to do that. But I don't, you know, it's just strange.
Yeah, there's a lot thrown out. I think at one point they tell Xander it's Heather. He goes and asks Tiff if it's Heather. Tiff goes around and asks everyone. And then we get a confessional from Heather saying that Shan is telling everyone what to do and I don't trust her. From Heather, we get a confessional. So thank God we finally get a confessional from Heather, first of all.
Okay.
But yeah, is that like a spike in her content where we're thinking, all right, maybe it's her night?
She had two confessionals this episode, actually.
She had two confessionals and she practically almost won the challenge. I was like, oh Lord, is this Heather's night?
Mm-hmm. So a spike in her, you know, content. And but also with if we could rewind a little bit to Nasir's confessional, he said something like he's super safe or something like that. He feels good. That's another one of those confessionals where I'm like, oh, his famous last words. They could get this brother out tonight.
So we get to Tribal and break it on down, because Tribal, it went down basement.
Yes. So tribal starts and Jeff kind of asks each person like why they sat out or why they didn't. He goes down and asks everybody. Shan says something like, I didn't care. I didn't care who sat out. I just wanted the rice for the tribe. Nasir says, I practiced for that particular challenge because I have flat feet and chicken legs, but I wanted the betterment for the group.
Nasir also cracked me up for the grilled cheese. Nasir was like, I could eat grilled cheese at home with my daughters. Okay. Yeah. Like, I don't want no grilled cheese. I love Nasir.
Evie says, not a single person told me what to do today. Mm. That's telling. But she also was immune. And Danny called them out for the previous tribal. He's like, look, last tribal, y'all had all these theatrics and y'all did this, that, and the third. Then all of a sudden this morning, you want to work with us all and you want to politic with us all. Come on, man. Fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice. It ain't going to happen. You ain't going to fool me again.
Danny has a lot of good reads, but he always kind of just like puts them out there. You know, like I think that's the right read, but I'm not going to tell them that I think that if you know what I'm saying.
Wait, run that by me again.
Like, I think that's the right perception for Danny to have. Be like, you know, the Yasa 3 just pulled a big move all together. That took a lot of coordination and a lot of trust.
Right.
And then the next morning, they're like, all right, we're going to turn on each other. Like, I think that's good of him to think. But at tribal council, I'm not going to be like, hey, Yasa 3, I think you're full of shit.
Got you. Okay. And so I feel like we talked about this last week where it's like, how do you feel about these live tribal councils? And I really feel like Jeff was like, so y'all gonna start the live tribal council or no?
Yeah. And then they don't start it until after he finishes asking the slowest ask of all time. And Heather's like, wait, Jeff, are we allowed to talk?
And Heather was like, listen, let me just get up and make sure y'all ain't getting my ass up out of here tonight.
And she says, what does she say to Tiffany?
She said, like, just sit here and trust me or something. The edit this episode was really confusing, to be honest with you. I didn't love this episode from a general viewership standpoint. Yeah, it was weird that Heather waited so long. And I honestly think we probably missed some stuff this episode because the way the vote went down, it almost seems like Heather sort of wanted to try to flush some idols out by stirring up some chaos. But it kind of just looked like Heather was going crazy, which I feel like, you know, maybe she was, but I feel like there's some other motivations here. But it was an interesting live. I don't love the live tribals, honestly, but although it didn't really change much in what the vote, you know, probably was, we did see some interesting interactions, I guess.
No, for sure. I'm with you. I don't all the time love a live tribal. I love once every now and again.
Yeah.
Right. But not like every challenge. And I really felt like, you know, Heather getting up and being so vocal. I'm like, oh God, this is like Heather's challenge or Heather's night to go home. And that's then when thought. Everything kind of sort of started going down. And then when Shan got her group and essentially was like, listen, Heather started this all, like, let's switch it to Heather. And then this is where we see another pivotal moment with Deshaun and Shan, where Deshaun is like, what's going on? And Shan's like, it's Heather. And then he is not in agreement with that. And, you know, Shan is like, well, tell me what's going on. Like, I want to like hear. And he's like, you know what? It's good. It's fine. We'll do what you want to do. And then, you know, Shan's like, no, I heard what you said before. I don't want to talk at you. Let's talk. And, you know, Deshaun's like, this ain't the time and the place. Deshaun, like, we're going to go with you, what you're going to go for. But my question to you guys are, I'm curious to know what you thought about that. But like when Shan was talking to the group and said, Heather, Deshaun was not in the mix, right? Like he was like, oh, he was not in the mix. So I don't know. This, again, for me, it's literally like watching a brother and sister argue. It's like, no, like, I don't want to see y'all fall apart. But I just, again, feel like, you know, there was a time, like, I don't know. Somebody jump in because I feel like I don't know what to think of it.
Okay. I'm on the fence with this one for a couple of reasons. First and foremost, when you're talking to someone, it's good to understand your audience so you know how they receive messages, right? I talk to you, Bryce, different than I talk to Jack, different than I talk to Joey, different than I talk to my parents, right? So you have that. But you also have this tribal dynamic. Sorry, I have a cough drop in my throat because I was coughing. You also have this tribal dynamic where you need to communicate fast, quickly, and effectively to people. When I was on Ghost Island with Dom, we would have a couple words or a couple looks. We'd be very direct with one another. And in tribal, as far as Shan's concerned, it's like, all right, we got a new plan. Whoop-de-whoop. This is the plan. Boom, boom, boom. You know? And Deshaun, I mean, he already had this history with Shan where he was like, yo, we need to communicate more effectively together. So there is that past, but then there's also this tribal element where it's like, we need to communicate with each other very quick. So I see both sides again. Shan ended up rubbing Deshaun the wrong way because of this communication gap that's between the two of them. And so we saw this another interaction, which I think we're getting some kind of foreshadowing where at some point these two juggernauts are going to.
Yeah. I don't love how Shan's going about things. And, you know, if I'm in Deshaun's shoes, it's tough because you don't like being talked to like that, but you almost let Shan take the wheel and kind of call the shots for a little bit and be the shield for you. And then once your alliance or the camp out or whatever gets sick of it, you cut her and you're kind of the clear favorite. But I do think Shan, and I think this came up in a confessional, the way she's going about her communication, and I think it's really hindered because she's tired, because she's hungry, it doesn't come across genuinely. I think she said something along the lines of like, okay, so-and-so doesn't feel heard. I need to pretend to listen to them so that they feel heard, instead of being like, okay, I actually do need to listen to them and take in what they're saying. So the way she's communicating is like, all right, let me pretend I'm listening to you and pretend that I'm hearing what you're saying, as opposed to actually listening and digesting what people are saying. And I think that comes across as pretty like obvious and shallow. Like when Deshaun is like upset that he's not being listened to, she's like, oh, well, like, what do you have to say? Like, I totally want to hear what you have to say. And it almost comes across as disingenuous. Did you get that read, Bryce?
I got that read, but I also say, like, this is classic gameplay that I have seen from Boston Rob. This is classic gameplay that I have seen from Tony. And so it makes me wonder, is it because Shan is a woman playing the game that it comes off differently? Like, I don't know the answer to that.
Well, Bryce, I think there's something to that. I think you're right. I think we've seen the gameplay by these strong men.
Right.
And they get a pass. But I also think that, you know, you can genuinely listen to this person.
I mean, yeah. I'm not.
And you don't have to put up an act and appease this person.
But
she says herself that she needs, the way she wants to go about it is to pretend to listen to people.
Are we mad that she's telling the truth? Because like,
I'm not mad at it. I'm just saying people are catching on. Deshaun, sense that it's not genuine.
So I think I get that. Like, even if you are pretending, it needs to be a genuine pretend. Okay. Yeah. I can get on board of that.
Yeah. I'm not mad at the gameplay. I think she's a great player. I think she's starting to fall off just because she's so, I just think she's getting caught up in the hunger and the exhaustion. I think on Uwa, she was so used to calling the shots so easily that I don't think she's been adapting well. But I still think her strategic mind is super strong.
So I got a bunch of questions for you guys, but I don't want to keep us here forever. My question is, okay, so then they all at the end agree like, okay, it's Heather. And then Tiffany go home.
Yeah.
Like, so do we feel like and mind you, even Shan voted for Tiffany. Mm. So did they edit something out or? Yeah.
I just feel like it was super wonky. And okay. I feel like this was a sort of a straightforward split that they wanted to create some misdirection.
Okay.
I don't know. I was sitting there. I thought it was going to be Heather because I was like, wouldn't it be hilarious if Heather gets no screen time the whole season?
No.
Wouldn't it be ironic if Heather gets no screen time the whole season and then she says, hey, Jeff, like, can we talk? And she tries to make this move and then she goes home. It would have been a crazy storyline. In the way they've done Heather dirty this season, I thought that that's what was going to happen.
Right.
But yeah, it was just, honestly, the editing was pretty bad this episode.
I was confused because I'm like, did I miss something? Because I'm like, but then even Shan votes for her. Like, yeah. So I was confused. Then my next question is, we said prior to this, and I've said prior to this, that like, you know, if Ricard or Shan goes home, it is at the doing of the other. Do we need to sub out Ricard? And would the statement be now, if Deshaun or Shan goes home, it is at the doing of the other person?
I think that's a more accurate statement. You never know, but like, I could see Deshaun. I think Shan is someone who's an emotional player, but in a lot of beneficial ways. So she makes really fast bonds with people. She makes fast bonds with Liana, Deshaun, Ricard. And so that sort of forms a more genuine relationship, in the sense that she almost has a brother sister relationship with Deshaun, Ricard. So she's not afraid to call someone out for their shit. Like you would in a natural relationship, but she has to remember that in Survivor, like eventually that is going to piss somebody off. So I think she will kind of go through for the next few episodes, votes, whatever, with Deshaun, with Ricard, where they're still leaning on each other, but that there are some cracks forming. And eventually I could see Deshaun potentially, or even Ricard, leading the charge against Shan.
I can see it with Deshaun. I think Ricard and Shan, like, despite their papaya tiff and everything,
they locked in.
They've been through the ringer together. They've been through the ups and downs, and like, yeah, it. I think they're good, but I think Deshaun is ready to take aim.
But back to what I was saying, it's like, if I'm in Deshaun's shoes, as hard as it is, I almost just let Shan call the shots for a while, because it seems like her agenda is generally similar to yours. And then say you get down to like final seven. Now, everyone's gonna be like, all right, Shan's been calling the shots. With everyone's down to get her out.
With
you an idol and an extra vote. Or does Deshaun have an idol?
No, but
yeah,
but Shan,
vote.
Like, oh. you don't want those, that lady with those loaded pockets and that social game and that
true
skill. She's a great, so she's a top tier Survivor player, and there are quite a few of them on this season. We could name probably five top tier Survivor players that are still in it.
Yeah.
Man, if I'm Deshaun, I got my eye on her for real, because with any momentum and an idol and an extra vote, she could do some damage.
But I almost think the way she's playing, she's starting to dig her own grave. So I just let her do that to my benefit for a few episodes and then go for her.
I question that, though, in the sense of like, you think that she is digging her own grave, but like, you know, she's I don't know, because
I think she's in a bad spot after this.
She is. But if what Danny is saying is true, and the girls do I don't know. I just look at number wise, and I think Heather, I think Shan, I think Liana, and I think Evie, and then I think Ricard. That's five.
As a group,
but I'm just.
We see Heather this episode say Shan is doing too much.
I mean, I know, but I am just thinking. I've seen other seasons where a girl alliance has formed, and they ain't even like each other.
Well, let's run some numbers.
Okay, well, I'm not that good at that, but go ahead.
If you have a Deshaun leading the charge, Danny's his guy. Heather is with them. That's at least three people against Shan right there.
However, don't underestimate Liana and Evie being
Evie,
able to.
But Evie might know that Shan was targeting her, because
listen, what I'm saying is, if an all girl alliance forms,
okay,
that is protection for Shan and outnumbers Deshaun. That's all that I'm saying. And all I'm saying in these circumstances, whether or not Heather says this about Shan now, I've seen poverty put together an all female alliance of people. Poverty. I've seen.
You went British there for a sec.
I have seen poverty.
I have seen poverty put together an alliance of females that ultimately didn't necessarily want to work together, but came together for to be female strong.
The group, and they said, fare thee well to
fare
all the men.
Fare thee well to all of the knights and prentals.
Printles.
Okay, so Bryce, do you see an all woman alliance getting to the end before a, say, an All Black Alliance getting to the end?
I don't know.
We're just saying it's an option.
I'm just saying it's an option, because all Leanna, all Abby has to do is say that Danny out here saying we got to get rid of the girl. Like, I'm just saying, like, anything could happen. Mm-hmm. This season is crazy enough. So again, Jack is saying Shanna's digging her grave. I say, I don't know. She might be digging a grave.
Oop.
She might be digging 6 feet under.
I'm not saying she's done. I'm just saying.
Listen to the choir. I'm not saying that she is not digging a grave. I am not saying that she has a shovel. But what I am saying,
hallelujah,
is it just might not. I don't know if you hear me, but what I am saying.
Oh, Lord.
Say it again for the people in the back.
What I am saying is she might be digging a grave. Hey.
Amen.
But it just might not be hers. Oh! Ah, not, oh! Oh! Not when... That's all that I'm saying.
Sure. I don't think she's like done for. I just think she's playing worse. But she still has options. She's such a good emotional and strategic player.
I don't like the term emotional, Jack.
I'm saying she's a good, like, she utilizes her emotions well. She utilizes strategy.
So why not just a good strategic player?
Because obviously emotions play a factor in her game.
He's saying that she's good.
She uses emotions well as well. Not always, but she makes good emotional. Like, I would say I'm a good strategic player, but sometimes I'm lacking emotionally because I'm not always good at connecting with people. She's very good at making those connections.
Are you a robot?
He is.
Sometimes. No, she's a great player. She's doing a little too much, but she has the tools, like emotionally, strategically, even physically, perhaps, that she could dig her way out. Although I will say, also, maybe you're like, I don't know about a girls specifically alliance, but if I am looking at the guys right now, there's some threats. You have Deshaun, you got Xander, Nasir is a challenge beast with an idol. Danny's obviously a beast. Even Ricard is just, you never know what Ricard's doing. So I don't know if the five girls, I don't know if their visions are aligned, but maybe that kind of mutual threat of the guys gives them some reason to take a few out, especially if you know that Danny wants to keep the guys together, which he's sort of advertised.
Right.
I have a question that I think I know the answer to, but I don't know. I'd love to hear your
The final question.
Is a path to the end more clear with a women's alliance or a black alliance if you're Shan?
But I think it's got to be a combination. I think primarily black alliance, but I think if you get to the good thing is there's only four. So if you get to that final four, you give yourself a good shot, right? It's not like the cookout in Big Brother where, you know, you could kind of compare Shan to like a Tiffany, and Tiffany does all the groundwork for that alliance and then gets cut at six because she's the one who's been kind of obviously carrying the load. If Shan can get to that four with that group, she gives herself a chance, especially with that loyalty from Leanna. But I do think you have to be one step ahead. I don't think you can be blindly loyal to either alliance because you have someone like a Deshaun or an Evie who's always going to be thinking, you know, we might have to get you out. So it could be a combination where you know, you kind of stick with that core of that black alliance, but maybe you bring in a Ricard or maybe you bring in a Heather and that's how you make a couple moves to get yourself ahead.
And that's what I've said in the beginning when people were like, you know, oh my God, the camp out's going to be the cookout all over again. I'm like, I don't know how the camp out in a Survivor game like this season navigates itself. And I think that is exactly what you just said, Jack. Like, I think it navigates itself by you keeping your options open on the other type of side of field and you bring in some allies.
Also on Survivor, it's so much harder to stick your neck out for an alliance member. Because on the cookout, it's like, on Big Brother cookout, it's like, hey, if one of our members is on the block and the other person on the block is not from the cookout, we can all just put our votes on them. It's easy. Like, there's no risk. Whereas in Survivor, if someone's on the chopping block, to really switch that whole vote up, you're putting yourself at risk as well, because the vote could easily change to you.
Not to mention the extra vote, not to mention an idol, not to mention not having a vote, not to mention a knowledge is power, not to mention a bench and Xander. Like, it's a lot.
So if I'm Shen and I know that we have this Black Alliance, I'm going to Liana and I'm saying, hey, I'm going to the women. Let's go to the women and let's say, hey, let's make this women's.
Oh, I think if Liana and Shan could just take a step back from trying to run the strategy, I think they really easily could position themselves in between those two alliances, let a couple of votes. Like, once you have those alliances, you don't have to do too much guiding of the vote because they're naturally not going to come for you because you've kind of got something going with both of them. So make those alliances, let things kind of guide themselves however they're going to guide themselves. Maybe a Nasir gets picked off. Maybe a Heather gets picked off. Maybe a Xander gets picked off. And then you're kind of right in the middle of your two alliances. And then you can start swinging back and forth and making those moves.
Okay. My last question before we wrap this pod up is, in that same line of thinking of, you're saying if Liana and Shan kind of like hover the two alliances as their best position, who is your first target on this next episode for your best position?
Between those, if I'm going with either one of those, it's
if
like,
if Wendell or Liana, Jack, you are Shan, y'all are hovering the two. Who?
if you're Shan, you're targeting like an Evie and a Xander. If I'm not Shan, I'm targeting like a Xander and a Nasir.
Okay.
Yeah, I think if I'm in their shoes, I maybe go for a Evie or a Xander, which they kind of try to do this episode, just because, I mean, if you're trying to work with some of the women, Evie is kind of the main opposition in sort of like bringing that group together. We haven't brought her name up this podcast, even like an Erica, like what is Erica really bringing to Liana and Shan right now? She's a quiet player who is definitely pretty strategic. And she's kind of in the middle of the road right now. So, like I said, maybe you go for a Xander, but I always kind of am of the mindset that if you could keep a thread around that everyone's eyes are going to be on, that's going to help mask you for a few rounds. So keeping a Xander, you can, I don't know, there's so much going on that if you could just position yourself well, let the target fall where it may. I think as long as, you know, a Deshaun or a Danny or maybe a Ricard doesn't go home, then you're happy with the outcome.
Okay. Well, listen, guys, I can't thank you enough for all of this Survivor talk of this episode. It was amazing. And make sure you guys, if you're listening, make sure you check out us on the YouTube at Bryce Isaiah. Make sure you subscribe to the Purple Pants podcast. We appreciate it. Jack, baby boy, we appreciate you for another episode. Wendeezy in the hotel, we appreciate you. Hotel Holiday Inn. Oh, and listen, we will be back next week for your Survivor news. We appreciate you. And listen, don't touch my papaya.
You gotta tell them what you got going on this Wednesday real quick though.
Oh, that you are very much so right. Come on, Jack Atkins. And don't forget, guys, this Wednesday,
before we talk about next Wednesday, we have a lot of Tiffany fans out there. And we just want to say,
yes,
we lost a good one in this tribal. Tiffany was a great player, a great character. She surprised us all out there. Her, just what she brought to everything. She was a great player.
Yeah.
Tiffany, we hate to see you go. Thank you for all you brought to this season.
Absolutely. Tiffany said, listen, I do an alliance with the crew. Okay.
The crew. Okay.
I'm mad at that. But also, guys, listen, this upcoming Wednesday, November 17th, you know, the Bryce and Wynn presents Philadelphia, the homecoming. We coming back home. So if you haven't got a ticket, make sure you get a ticket and make sure you pull up on your baby boys. We can't wait to watch some Survivor with you guys in our own home city with our own crew. Shout out to the Survivor Philadelphia crew. I heard y'all going to be in attendance, yes, even sir. Season two. Ooh, did I spill the tea? Oh, ooh, my bad. But listen, guys, we will be back next week. Thank you so much. We appreciate you for the Survivor news. And like I said before, don't touch my papaya. Oh, maybe you can if you're Xander. All right, bye. I hope you enjoyed this week's Survivor news. I love to hear your feedback. Make sure you tweet us, tweet Wendell, tweet Jack, tweet me. tweet the Purple Pants Pod. Let us know what you thought. And remember, if you have not already, please make sure you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcasts from. Hit the subscribe button. Give your baby boy some 5 stars. Write a review. And make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel, Bryce Isaiah. Okay? The more subscribers I get, the more content I will provide for you guys. Cause you know it's the purple pants, it's the purple pants, it's the purple pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the purple pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the purple pants, it's the purple pants.